God has taken Max and Sherry Griner on an incredible spiritual journey, resulting in literally hundreds of authentic, documented miracles. The Griners' continuing spiritual pilgrimage, which began in September of 1976, has been the subject of newspaper, magazine, book, radio, television, and internet coverage around the world. In 1989, the artist began receiving invitations to share his remarkable testimonies at meetings, churches, universities, and seminaries across America. Often, when Max would share his usual stories, the Holy Spirit would work more miracles as he testified about Jesus and prayed publicly. These classic messages describe timeless spiritual truths, which Max illustrates with actual contemporary miracles. In many cases, these miracles have been documented and witnessed by hundreds of people who were present at the time. If you have ever wondered if God still supernaturally intervenes in today's world, or you need your own miracle, or you desire a richer walk with God, the Griner's testimony will bless you. Max's powerful testimony and his internationally collected Christian artwork are well known. For more information on his art or other inspiring messages from the Kerrville, Texas artist, please visit his website at www.maxgrinerart.com. That's www.maxgrinerart.com. We believe God will touch you as you hear this testimony. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that the following true testimony will be used by God to bless you more than you can imagine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The following message was given on June the 4th, 1995 at Grace Bible Chapel in Kerrville, Texas.
Good morning. God send me. Have you ever had that thought, or has the thought crossed your mind, why doesn't God use me or use me more? How can I recognize the voice of God, or how can I recognize His intervention in my life? How can I be His vessel? How can God use the natural abilities that He's given me, or the supernatural gifts that He's gifted me with? At this church, we've been blessed with some excellent teaching, sound doctrine. But with that understood, why do we need an understanding of doctrine in itself? The truth is the more that we understand His doctrine and the truth of the Word, the more He can use us as His vessel. But at the same time, if all you're using sound doctrine for is intellectual stimulation, you're a disappointment to God, because that's not the reason He gave us the doctrine. Yes, we're supposed to study the Word, but the purpose of that is so we can apply it to our own lives and the lives of others. You know, we're supposed to go forth. We're supposed to share the gospel, tell people about salvation. We're supposed to help the poor. We're supposed to seek the abundant life through Christ, train the saints, heal the sick, and even cast out demons is what we're supposed to be doing. In effect, this Bible is a manual for Christian soldiers, and we're supposed to go out and do what it says. We've been commissioned by Jesus, and let me say here, you don't need to wait until you're an expert on doctrine or on the Bible, or until you are physically healed totally or emotionally healed. You should begin witnessing the reality of Christ really from the day that you're saved. And the truth is, God uses willing, eager, yielded vessels. And expertise really seems to be an optional item. If you've got it, that's great. But that will not stop God from using you if you are willing. You will see people saved, physically healed, and blessed if you simply operate in the biblical doctrine that you understand. I mean, well, even with a very small understanding of the truth, God can use that to see people into the kingdom and to work miracles. You know, God has a lot of doctrine experts who love biblical gymnastics. A lot of them can't be used because they simply won't obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's why, without the Holy Spirit's anointing and guidance, doctrine doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And so it really takes both, so that you can step out in faith in those moments when God would want you to say a prayer or to share some words. You know, as a result, God can't use people as he desires if they're so busy just studying the word to get out and do it. You know, there are, you know, biblical scholars that are, you know, great theologians, but often the religious pride becomes so great that they miss a lot of times the gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit to go out and do what they've been teaching, and opportunities are missed. You know, my point is, God will use you as you are, wherever you are, and can use you in more powerful ways than you can even dream. Because once you've received Christ as your Savior, the full power of the Godhead resides in you. And so it's really not dependent on you, but upon Him. Now, I'm not a pastor or a scholar. I haven't been to seminary. I am just an artist. You know, let God decide how He'll use you each moment of the day. God can work any miracle through any of us if we'll just be obedient to what He says and do it at the moment He says it. You know, this morning, my purpose is not to teach doctrine, but what I would like to share is really some personal testimony about how God works in our life and how I use the doctrine to do what God wants me to do and to share what God wants me to share. And I expect to be used every day. I'm going to share some examples now that I will demonstrate this truth of how God can use any of us. And I share these not to bring any glory to myself, but really to be an encouragement to you to be a willing servant of Jesus. You know, if you'll really be available to Him as His vessel every moment of the day for any purpose He has, He's going to use you. And that's just the way He is. I'd like to just share about 6 days in my life back in February of 1994. And it would really just give you a window into this particular point in time when God was really using me as a fisher of men, or you might say a hunter of men. And it just gives you a kind of a picture of how the Holy Spirit can move through the realm of His gifts and opportunities if somebody will just wait and be available for whatever He needs. It was a very intense time, and this is why I've chosen this particular point in time, because it illustrates very well the variety of ways that God can speak and can use each of us and can use the doctrine that He's given us. I try to keep a pretty accurate record in a prayer journal that I have of what God does when we say a prayer for somebody or when something happens, so I can keep track and find out if prayer was answered. And what I'm going to kind of read from is information that was taken from this prayer journal. Literally what you'll hear is appointments, divine appointments that God sets up. And these are encounters that He has for us if we'll just obey His leading. You know, a divine appointment really is a moment in time when God presents you with the opportunity to be His vessel. And you know, it's when it's His appointment and it's in His timing and we're obedient, God will provide you with the words and the anointing and the power to accomplish His will. To begin this account, I need to give a little bit of the context. I just finished 4 days at a secular wildlife art show in San Antonio, the convention center, and it was the foundation of North American Wild Sheep Show, and it's some of the richest hunters in the world, and hunting and fishing show, that kind of outdoor experience that had nothing to do per se with God or religion. And I had my wildlife art there, and then in the end of the booth I had my life-size bronze of Jesus and Peter, the divine servant. And the result of that show was that I lost about $2,000 in my expenses and the cost of the show for what I took in. But on the spiritual side, God had really provided me with dozens of His divine appointments. There was one person saved, seven baptisms in the Holy Spirit, two deliverances, and several people were physically and emotionally healed. You know, this was supposedly a secular wildlife art show for us to make some money to keep on living to buy groceries. But that wasn't what it was. God turned it around on me, and He had other purposes for people. And people showed up at this show that wouldn't darken the door of any church. But He brought them to me. So I finished this show, and at the end of it, was prepared to come back and return to my normal schedule. But I was told that there was another big sportsman show there in town a couple of days later called the Game, Coin, and Sportsman's Expo at the Alamo Dome. And I asked about this show, and lots more people were coming in. These are the safari hunters from Africa, from all over the world, and a very rich group. And generally it takes some folks with some extra funds to buy artwork since it's a luxury. And so I talked to Paul Jenkins there, that was one of the organizers, and I said, is there any chance to get a booth there in that show since I'm here? And he said, well, I'm sorry, Max, it's been sold out for 6 months. There's no places. And I said, well, Paul, do you mind if we just pray and we just ask that if God wants me in this show, He'll get me in? He said, sure, that'd be great. And Paul's a good Christian. And so we just prayed and said, Lord, would you please get me into this show if you want me there for some purpose? We put the fleece out. Well, on Monday, February the 21st, at 11 a.m., I decided to call Paul Jenkins, and this was the day before the setup of this next show, and I asked to see if there was any openings yet, if somebody had canceled. And he said, no, I'm sorry, Max, there's no openings. You know, at 5 o'clock, I got a call from Paul, and he says, God's hand must be on you. At the last minute, there are two booth cancellations. He says, I've got a double booth and a single booth. Which one do you want? And I need to know right now. And I said, Paul, let me, if I could, call you right back in a few minutes. Sherry and I really need to pray about this. And what was going through my mind in the natural is I just lost $2,000 doing the show the week before. And now I had the opportunity to lose $800 or $1,600, you know. And I was trying to decide which that I want to lose. So I said, I better check with the Lord. So anyway, so Sherry and I, we just prayed. And we just held hands right there in the kitchen. And we said, you know, Lord, you open this door for me. Which booth do you want? Is it the 10 by 20 foot or the 10 by 10 booth? And that moment as we were praying, God spoke into my mind, and it was very clearly. And it said, basically the thought was, you'll need the large booth, so you'll have room to pray for all the people I'm going to send you. You know, when I say God speaks to me, really what that was we just said a prayer, we had a question, we said, which booth? We got silent a second, and this thought came into my mind, and that was the thought. You know, I was seeking God through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, and that came. I was convinced that was God. So I called my friend up, and I said, we'll take the big booth. Well, ironically, as God would have it, it was the best location in the whole Alamo Dome Convention Center. And I had room, again, to bring the big life-size Divine Servant bronze, so I put all my wildlife art at one end of the booth and the Divine Servant over at the other end. Tuesday, February the 22nd, you know, again, I wake up 6:30 a.m., say, God, please use me. 7:30, I'm praying with my daughter Shay for a test she's about to take. 8:20, I'm at the Texaco gas station, and I'm pumping gas, and I look over across the way, and there's another friend from the Baptist church that I see, and I just, without talking to him or him seeing me, I sense he's under attack. And I go over to him, and sure enough, he'd had a big argument with his wife that morning, and she's got cancer, and they were having all kind of attacks, and God just told me to remind him his struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the enemy. And so I prayed for him, and we rebuked Satan, you know, at that moment away from his family and the destruction that he was trying to work in that family, and just prayed for peace. 12:30, I head to San Antonio to set up the art show. I set up the display at 7 p.m. Sherry gets a call from a teenager that's in depression, suicidal. Sherry prays for him. I arrive at 8 p.m., find out about this. We pray. 8:35, the mother calls. We pray for the depressed son and the whole family situation. Wednesday, the 23rd, Again, same thing. Wake up in the morning, pray, drive to San Antonio. 5:20, I'm at the show in San Antonio. And this world-class taxidermist that has a booth across the way from me that just does the greatest taxidermy in the world and some of the most expensive, he sees the bronze and he comes over and he says that he used to be a fundamentalist pastor and that he gave it up and he doesn't believe anything now. And normally, boy, I mean, that's all I need to fire my button. But again, God spoke very clearly to me in a thought in my mind, and he said, wait, just listen to him and don't speak. And that's, as those of you that know me, that's real out of character for me. But I just listened to him. I didn't try to say, oh no, God's real, and I just listened to him. And finally he walked across the back to his booth, and another artist came up that I'd prayed with at the previous show that had been an alcoholic and was supernaturally healed by God when he received Christ and got the baptism. And so this artist shows up here, and I said, let's go pray for that, or let's pray for that taxidermist from here. So in our booth we prayed from the taxidermist across the aisle that God would save him. You know, at 6:05 p.m., a fishing guide from Dallas named Scott, who was one of the leaders of the Men's Bible Study Fellowship, comes into the booth. He sees the sculpture. He's touched by the bronze. I sense his heart is right for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit to him. He prays to receive the baptism. And then he asks if we could pray for an 11-year-old nephew that's got cancer. You know, 7 p.m., a young lady from Canada, it's with the Sportsman's Magazine, Anne Marie, she comes by. We pray for a financial blessing for her family and physical healing. The week before, at the previous show, we prayed for a deliverance and healing from abuse and some things and a physical condition that had not yet been healed, but that her life had been remarkably changed inside just since the prayer the week before. 7:20, a guy named Bruce from Trinity Baptist Church in San Antonio shows up. Again, God opens up the conversation. He's heard about the baptism, but's afraid. I answer his questions. He refused to receive it, but he allows me to pray for him that God would let him know the baptism is real. You know, what I do is I don't try to force anybody. I try to go as far as God wants me to go, but I don't really force anybody, and Jesus didn't do that. But I do always try to pray for somebody before they leave, so I'm really kind of saying, sick 'em, Holy Spirit. And I just trust he'll make it real, and then I gave him another one of those tapes. 10:30, arrive home, Lisa Rux calls. She said that she'd had a divine appointment from the wife of the man that I prayed with at the gas station, and that she was real excited about that and prayed for her. And as it turns out, Wayne happened to be driving by the gas station just at the moment we were praying at the gas pumps. And so we even got to see that. Thursday the 24th, 9:30 a.m., All of a sudden I get, which turned out to be a word, to call a doctor friend of mine here in town, a local physician, to give him some of the extra tickets to this show. I called his nurse. His nurse says, well, he's been wanting to talk to you. He would like to pray with you for some healing that he needs in his family. Could you get together? And so we set up an appointment, and we prayed. And then as we prayed for his family, then he said, I've got a patient that's got cancer. Could we pray for that patient? And so we prayed together for that. 10:30, Sherry and I pray again for the physician and his needs and his family. 1 o'clock, arrive in San Antonio. God again speaks another word. You know, and at the time some of these come, you're not sure it's you or it's God, but then when it's immediately confirmed, that kind of lets you know it's him. And basically he said that a lady, Beth Steinrud from KSLR, was about to walk up, and I knew she was going to try to meet me at this show to discuss and do an interview. But I didn't really know when, so I got that thought, she's coming, and I looked around the corner, and up she walks. And we talk a while and pray, find out she's baptized in the Holy Spirit, gave her 2 of the Holy Spirit hand grenades, and she left. 2 o'clock, Express News photographer comes up to the booth. He's ready, witness about the baptism, but he was one of those people that satisfied where he was, and so he didn't want to pray for the baptism. And Beth then began to share the miracles and how she was healed of all kind of things by the Lord. And even though with both of us witnessing God's reality and miracles, he still wasn't ready. So again, I just asked him that prayer, do you mind if I ask God to let you know if this is real or not? And he said, fine. So we just prayed that prayer for him. God, let him know this is real and this is you. 3 o'clock, an artist from Africa, a new friend I'd met the week before, Cobus Moeller, he came over to see if I'd pray that he'd get a flight back to Africa, because there weren't any flights to Africa or any seats, and he didn't have his airline tickets like he needed. And so we prayed, and by the way, that prayer was answered immediately. Also, We had prayed about some serious financial problems he had and health problems with his family and the previous week, and God had already answered a lot of those problems, and he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so he was already moving in God's new dimension. 6 p.m., pray for a Southern Baptist artist that's there, and again, he knew about the Lord, but he didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I prayed for him for the baptism. 7 p.m., the world champion bull elk caller comes in the booth, and he's a Catholic, and he comes by, and he asks if I could give a job to his brother. And I kind of felt like old Peter, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I'll give to you. So I said, let's pray for your brother. And his brother was in major depression and suicidal. And so we prayed for his brother, and lost his wife and lost his job and really needed help. And then I prayed for this man, John, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's see. And then a little later than that, witnessed my bear story miracle, which some of you have heard, to two guides that are in the booth next to me that were non-believers, and they're polar bear guides. And they've been watching my booth, you know, for the last day of all these people coming in and praying. And they're like, they were probably wondering, what kind of show are we at? And nobody's coming into their booth. And you know, I witnessed my testimony that I had God prepared for them about a miracle with a bear. And I didn't get real heavy or anything. I just shared that story of that miracle, how God was real. 7:45, two young men, Christians, age 23 and 25, from Lubbock in San Antonio, come in, share about the baptism. They weren't ready yet. Gave them some tapes, prayed for them. Friday, 8 a.m., back in Kerrville, drop off testimony tapes with the husband and wife that had cancer. 12:30 back at the show, pray with Paul Jenkins for success of the show. 2 o'clock, jeweler named Nino, Italian, baptized in Church of Christ, and baptized in the Holy Spirit also, comes by, and we pray for his father-in-law, who owns the business he's with, that's a non-believer, and he's very hard to reach. And so we just prayed again. We put a fleece out and said, God, without us forcing anything on him, would you have him come over here? And at 3 o'clock, he comes over, and I'm able to share with him. 2:15, an old bow hunting friend comes by from Dallas, son of a Baptist preacher, share about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, 2:26, pray with one of the staff at the convention, witnessed to them about salvation. Wasn't ready to receive, but I gave him a tape on salvation and a hunting kind of perspective, which is what he related to. 4 o'clock, I had a real strange guy come by. This guy was a 75-year-old bachelor from San Antonio, ex-military, and he doesn't see any of the art, doesn't see the divine servant. He just walks right up to me, and I'm really going, now, God, why is this guy in my booth? And then he begins to start talking about how he travels the world and the military deal, and what he does is he flies all over the world to have sex with prostitutes of all the different countries. And so I'm standing there listening to this guy tell me about all these different prostitutes he's had all over the world. And I'm going, God, why is this guy in front of me? And right then, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of reminds me, and this guy's full of demons too. And, you know, and so I'm just listening and cautious and waiting to see what the Holy Spirit's doing. And finally, the Holy Spirit gave me the words to say as I listened to him pour out all this stuff. I said, but where are you going to be in 1,000 years? And he stopped talking for a second. And then he got picked right up again and started telling me about the prostitutes in Malaysia and the prostitutes in Norway. So I let him go on another minute, and then the Holy Spirit gave me the nudge again. And I said, but where are you going to be in 1,000 years? And that stopped him. And at that point he said, I don't know. And then I explained the plan of salvation to him. Well, he was so... you know, I guess felt so dirty that he did not want to pray to receive Christ right then. And again, he was dirty and he needed to be cleaned. But I explained how God could forgive anything, he could do anything. But he wouldn't pray to receive Christ at that moment. But then I said, well, if there is a God, you'd like to know, wouldn't you? And he said, yes, I would. And I said, well, then can I just pray that he reveals himself to you? And he said, yes. And I could see tears start coming out of his eyes. And so I just put my hand on him, and I said, Lord, let him know you're real. You know, and not a big, long prayer, in Jesus' name. Handed him a little tract that I'd gotten from Robbie and from his office, and gave him one of our testimony tapes. you know, and I don't know what happens to that guy or what happened to that guy, but I know God was in that moment, and, you know, he had diseases and he had all kinds of things, and I believe, you know, there's a good chance he's going to be in heaven, you know, but that's up to the Lord and him. But at 5 p.m., then a famous attorney from San Antonio comes in the booth, and we pray. At 7 p.m., an old art collector comes in, and I give him testimony tape number 5. At 7:30 p.m., I pray for a man in a wheelchair. Did not see any healing happen. 9 p.m., a secular radio station comes by and asks for an interview, and they get to ask me, and they ask me about the divine servant, so I get to give a witness about Jesus over the secular radio station. 9:30, the local doctor that I'd prayed with before comes, is at the show, and we pray again. 10 o'clock, pray with the organizer of the big show that that more people would come the next day. Saturday the 26th, 11:30 a.m., stranger walks into my booth. And he comes around the corner and he sees the life-size bronze of Jesus and Peter. And he just stops and he's just stunned. And his name was Jim Grassi. He's the director of the Christian Fellowship of Christian Anglers, which is a ministry outreach program through the fishing sport. And he's the director of it. And he said, he comes over to me and he introduces himself and he says, you know, this is so strange, but I believe it was 5 a.m. this morning. I believe it was 5, maybe it was 6. But at 5 a.m. this morning, he said, God woke me up out of a sound sleep and said, go to the book of Acts and read chapter 19. And immediately I began to smile. And so I turned it to my Bible, and in my Bible I have it circled with an outline, red outline, that says proof of second experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, boy, oh boy, is this guy ready? So I smiled and I said, well, you know, there is more. And really what my friend Jim had said is he you know, he read the book chapter 19 and he read it, and then he said, God, if there's more, I want it, you know. And then a few hours later he's at my booth and I'm saying, yes, there's more. And so anyways, I explained about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts, and again, he was from an evangelical background and really loved the Lord, but not any charismatic background at all. And so his heart was prepared though, and so we prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for his migraine headaches. We prayed for hearing, had some hearing problems. We prayed for his ministry and his finances and his family. We got all through with all that praying. You know, and I felt really good that we'd done what we were supposed to do there. And then he says, you know, I can't wait to tell one of my best friends about this. And I said, oh, really? Who's that? And he said, Chuck Swindoll. And I said, God, I'm sure glad you waited till after we'd done all this praying before he shared that little piece of information, because... I wonder how God's going to use that, but it's the Lord. I just did what I was supposed to do. I'm not responsible. 12:15, Cobus Moeller comes by, the African artist, and we pray for an artist friend there that he had given a ride to. We come to find out he was a Mormon, and what was strange about this guy is that during the week, I'd pass this guy's booth at both shows, and every time I'd pass this guy's booth, I'd sense evil. And I didn't know the guy. I didn't, you know, it was 300 booths. But every time I'd pass this one booth, I'd sense evil. And I didn't know what it was, but I sensed evil. And so I just prayed, God, whatever you need to do to this guy, do it. And so anyways, all of a sudden now Cobus says I gave him a ride back to the hotel, and he's in Mormonism. And so we prayed for his salvation. And again, I believe, you know, probably the gift of discerning of spirits may have been involved there a little bit, as when I would just go by him and sense that there was an evil there. 12:35, prayed for those Canadian guides for hunt bookings. 2 o'clock, two brothers come to the booth. One's from the Baptist Church in San Antonio named Scott. The other one, his brother is Bruce, long hair. The previous night or that night, Bruce was just at the end of his rope. His life was going nowhere. He was divorced. His son, Jason, was a rebellious teenager and the whole of his whole life was just falling apart, and he had really put it up that, you know, if there's a God, I need help. And so now, you know, a few hours later, he's standing in the booth with me. And so basically I told him the bear story, because they were hunters, and that let them know how real God was. And then we prayed for Bruce to be saved, and then both of the brothers prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we prayed for the family needs, and that the son, the younger son, would come back from the rebellion, would get saved. At 3:30 p.m., Tom from New Brunswick and his wife Jennifer, that we'd had prayed with before, another divine appointment earlier. The man, he'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when he stopped by the house to pick up a piece of art, and he got more than that. But now his wife wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so we prayed for her. And again, they were teachers in the Bible study fellowship, which is always makes me smile. And and anyways, 345, two old fishing buddies come by the booth, and neither one of them are saved, and they're not ready to receive Christ. And I said, well, don't you guys want to have a relationship after you die, like a good one, like you've had all this life fishing together? And they said yes, and so I prayed for them and gave them tapes and tracks, and they left. 4 o'clock, a friend of mine from bow hunting, who is an agnostic, comes by, and he had listened to one of our tapes and still doesn't believe in God. We're still praying for him. He's so smart that he has a real hard time with his intellect getting away of receiving the Lord. But we prayed for him, not with him in the booth, but after he left, I just kept praying for him. And 4:15, Dr. Ed Serday comes by, and Dr. Dean Jasper. Previously, I'd prayed with Ed's wife that Ed would be saved. He was a successful, happy bow hunting doctor in San Marcos, and he went to Promise Keepers with his friend. He got saved at Promise Keepers. Dobson somehow found out about him, and he was on the Focus on the Family radio show talking about how he got saved at Promise Keepers. And then I said, well, God, why are they here now? And it was like, well, he's supposed to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit now. So anyways, I just asked if he was ready for the baptism and explained what it was, and he said yes, and his other doctor friend had already received it, and he just smiled and said yes, and so we prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you're keeping count, that's the 9th baptism right there of the Holy Spirit that's happened so far. And 5 p.m., an architect that's been on our mailing list for years, a Catholic, comes in the booth. He sees the wildlife art. So this architect prayed for salvation and for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 5:30 p.m., witness to a Trinity Baptist in San Antonio member that had seen us before and gave him a tape, and prayed with the pastor at 5:45 for a member that wasn't saved in his church, prayed with a Spirit-filled couple for some needs in their church, then a couple of more Africans, a guy and his wife, Dudley and Tess Rogers, come over. They had talked to Cobus, and that they were having all kind of problems. They were being financially blackmailed, and their daughter back in Africa had some kind of incurable skin disease that was taking over her body, and the doctors couldn't stop it. So we prayed about that. Sunday the 27th, last day of the show, 11 o'clock, we have a church service in our booth. Jim Grassi wanted to have a little service, so we just had a little service for those people that wanted to attend, you know, some kind of a worship of God that morning, even though the show started, you know, that morning at 12. And lo and behold, the Mormon shows up. And I just say, thank you, Lord. And so we share, everybody shares. We all share a little bit of testimony, and Jim shares some teaching. And anyways, and I give the Mormon one of those Holy Spirit hand grenades, and he leaves. Then after the service, Dudley and Tess say, we want this baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they said that since the previous prayer the night before, just a great peace had come over them about their situation and about their daughter. 11:45, on the way to the bathroom, wind up witnessing to a lady wildlife biologist with the Texas Wildlife Department that, you know, I don't know, it's God. That's all I can say. So, and then at 12:30, the last day of the show, that world-class taxidermist that's been watching me across the aisle the whole way, he comes over and he says something like, he says, you really live your faith, don't you? And I really felt God say, now you can talk to him. So I you know, the fleece was answered. And so I just, I knew I probably wouldn't have very long, because he was very, very bitter against God and the things of God and the people of God. But I shared 3 miracles that I thought he could relate to. And he just didn't know what to make of those stories, because he had already figured out God doesn't do anything supernatural and all that's fake, and he just couldn't fit into his intellect. I said, well, could I pray for you? And he said, it's okay to pray, but don't touch me. And so, you know, anyway, so I prayed for him. And I don't know what God's done for him, but in any event, I trust something, because I knew there was a divine appointment there too. 12:45, Paul Jenkins and Dudley come by, and we pray again secretly and silently across the aisle for this taxidermist. 1 o'clock, The 13-year-old son that was in rebellion, the son of Bruce, comes to the booth. And I put out a fleece, and I said, Lord, if you want me to pray for this young man to receive Christ, send him back over here, and I'll do it. As soon as he shows up, I was like a bird dog. That's the same as, you know, that's done deal. So, I mean, that's all I needed. And so, anyways, I said, you could talk to him a minute, and said, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? And he said, yes. And he prayed for salvation. And anyways, 1:30, prayed with a couple with some physical diseases. 1:36, Beth Steinroth from KSLR comes back. And she wanted more tape. She listened to the first ones. We prayed for her for physical healing of a back problem and that God would send her a godly husband. 2:30, an Aggie friend from my days at A&M that almost blinded me accidentally back in the 70s when I really started praying real hard one time. I could remember. He came by the booth and gave him one of the testimony tapes. And let's see, 3:30, Baptist comes in the booth to see the Elk Bronze, Southern Baptist. He gets the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 4:30, Jim Grassi comes by, and he says, last night God gave him a word he believed for me. And again, this was new, the idea of getting a word from God. But he says, I think God told me to tell you that you're supposed to create your next sculpture of Jesus is going to be one with him fishing. And I'd already been praying about that since even 1986, since the Divine Servant idea was given to me. And I've been saying, what's next, Lord? And he never would tell me. Just keep doing what you're doing. But I'd been praying, and I'd even had the thought of Jesus, the fisherman. But this was a confirmation to me when he said that. And so I prayed, and literally it was from his confirmation that my new project that I'm working on, Fishers of Men, the nucleus of the idea really started to take hold. And this is a drawing right here to my left of what this big sculpture is going to be. And so anyways, that's the birth of an idea, and God used a person to confirm it to me, spoke to him, and it really spoke to my heart. And I went back and prayed, and that's when I really, instead of seeing Jesus with a bunch of fishermen out there pulling up nets, I really just saw Jesus himself making the invitation to all of us to follow him and to be fishers of men. And so that's the project that I'm working on. 6 p.m., the 6 p.m. is when that 13-year-old came back, Jason, yeah, and he did get the salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit an hour before the show ends. I just sent a note here. 7 p.m., the show ends. I'm waiting in line to load my stuff, and I pass that Scott, the fishing guide that was teacher of the Bible Study Fellowship in Dallas. He was sitting there listening to my tapes as I walked by to get in my car, and he said, man, I can't believe this stuff. And he said, can we pray for my nephew that's got cancer and ask that God really just reveal my gifts and what he wants me to do real quick? So we prayed for him as I'm waiting in line to load my car, you know, drive home, and I'm just thanking God for all the things that he did in this 5 days. So the results of this show after 5 days was I lost, you know, about $2,000. And 3 people got saved, 14 got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and people were healed, some deliverance and miracles for provision in families, and lots of witnessing and prayers and lots of throwing seed, and in a place where normally you wouldn't expect seed to be thrown quite so hard. As a postscript to what happened, is the Fishers of Men project is now going, and I'm about to finish the life-size carving of that sculpture. Jim Grassi and his fishing ministry is now using some of the art and the prints in his ministry. The Baptist lady with cancer and her husband, they shortly after that got the baptism of the Holy Spirit when we prayed, and there seems to have been some healing and blood counts have come up, and so we're rejoicing in that. And then on the 18th, that next month on the 18th, I was at the lunch with the Shepherd Shop people, Joel and Marianne Severson, some of you may know, and with Beth Steinrud from KSLR, and we were going to do a promotion of my work down there at their Christian bookstore. And Beth begins this testimony, Hal, that ever since we prayed in our booth back at the sports show, that her back had been healed, and she had degenerative arthritis, and that now she wears high heels, and that she no longer has any pain, and she just gave a full testimony of God healing her. And also, we'd also prayed for her to find a godly husband, and I found out shortly thereafter that she was engaged to be married. So we thank God for that. On the 11th, Paul Jenkins called March, and he said that he got a fax from this African artist, Cobus Moeller, and that we prayed for with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, God has really change this guy. And he said that God has opened the financial floodgates for him. He won't lose his house now, and that the inner healing that we prayed for has taken hold, that there were some things that was a major kind of a sin in his life that he could not stop doing, and we basically bound up the enemy and dealt with that in a deliverance fashion, and he's now free of that. He's no longer in bondage to this sinful behavior. His wife, who had real timidness and low self-esteem and fear, all that's gone, and his own fear is gone. And he then called me himself long distance from Africa. He was so excited. He said, I'm even praying for people to get healed. And so he's now out ministering. And as to show you how, God kind of can multiply what we do, 8 months later, we get a letter from Cobus's brother, Carl, from Africa. This brother sent us this long letter, like 6 pages, and it was very discouraged. He was very discouraged, depressed, rejection, without hope, financial, everything going wrong in his life. And he said that his brother Cobus came and he saw such an incredible change in Cobus. He said that he just asked in this letter, would Sherry and I pray for him? And he didn't ask for money and he didn't ask for anything but prayer. But as God would have it, and God being God, and the fact that it's really just us touching our hearts with the Father. The night after he wrote that letter, God touched him. And he wrote a second letter a day or two later, which we got the same day that we got the first letter. So what had basically happened is the night after he wrote this letter, pouring out his heart to me and about how he hadn't read the Bible in a year and how he hadn't prayed and he hadn't felt anything of God, after he poured all that out, at 2:30 a.m., God woke him up and said, go to the Bible. And first time he said in a year he read the Bible, he went to Psalms 125 and just broke down. And just God touched him in that moment and just had a major spiritual breakthrough. And so the second letter we got was one of rejoicing. And he said, by praying, and that God touched him over there in Africa. And that even though some of the other things, had to work through in time, already there was a major spiritual breakthrough and the depression had left and his relationship with God was renewed. And also Paul Jenkins called in and let us know that the daughter of Dudley and Tess in Africa was healed. And it was a fever that from ticks that the doctors did not recognize until after we prayed. So, in conclusion, this just really, I want to just, as the bottom line of all this, is to let you know that if we bring the little that we have, the fishes and the loaves that we've been given, if we'll give those fishes and loaves to Jesus, he can work a miracle with them. The effects of our prayers can literally reach around the world, and we may never know till we get to heaven. Don't be afraid to let the Holy Spirit lead you into doing things that you don't understand. You just trust him. Some people have more faith in Satan's ability to deceive them than in God's ability to lead them. It's the opportunity when he gives them to you. The parable of the talents. If you use what he gives you, he'll give you more. If you use the opportunities and the divine appointments he gives you, he'll give you more. Be ready to speak a word or not speak, depending on what the Holy Spirit says. Be ready to pray. Step out in faith. And don't wait till you're 100% sure it's God, because God works on a faith system, and it's very rare that I'm 100% sure it's God, but I know it's okay to pray for somebody, and when I got them in front of me, I just pray and trust God's in the moment. And you don't have to have a 1,200 pounds bronze of Jesus with you either for this to work. You can ask Sherry and Shay. We can be at Walmart, we can be at Burger King, we can be at the mall, we can be at the feed store with total strangers, and divine appointments show up constantly. So he'll use you wherever you are. Just be ready. God will honor your obedience and your desire to please him, even if your timing's not exactly right or you don't have exactly the right words. God's really looking at your heart, and he'll use what you give him, and he'll work the miracle. Don't fear. Don't let Satan put fear in you to keep you from an exciting, power-filled relationship with God's Holy Spirit. If your walk with the Lord is boring, you're probably too far from the front line. You need to get on up towards the front line where the fight's going on. Don't be afraid of the supernatural or the emotional. I mean, the truth of the matter is you can't have love without emotion. And it is emotional to come close to God. And you're dead if you can't get excited when you see God work a miracle in front of your eyes. And so, you know, emotion alone is not bad. The main thing we all have to do is keep our eyes on Jesus. And if you're seeking Jesus and God in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, Satan is not big enough to give you a counterfeit gift or a counterfeit experience. You know, when you're going to Jesus, you're going to get Jesus. Finally, do what God says, even if it's illogical, if it's unprofitable, if it's inconvenient, if it's uncomfortable. You're just going to have to be bold. Let go of your own understanding and trust in God in that moment. And you can't walk on the water until you let go of the side of the boat. I thank you for the chance to be here and share this morning. This is a little different testimony than I normally share, but hopefully showing you the moment by moment of how God leads us maybe will be of some benefit to you. I'd like to close with a prayer, if that's all right, and pray corporately, and then I would like those who would like for Sherry and I to pray for them to have more divine appointments and to be used as vessels of the Lord. If they wouldn't mind coming up after we pray corporately, we'd be glad to do that. And whether you're already sensing His move in your life or not, if you want more and want to be used as His vessel to bless others, then we invite you to come up. All right, let me just pray. God, we thank You. Thank You for being here. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for being here. Father, I just would pray now that You'll do what You want to do with us. And I pray that the needs of this family of Yours would be met. I pray right now for financial needs, that even in this week, Lord, that miracles of financial blessing would be poured out. I pray for physical healing, Lord God, that You would heal those that need Your healing touch right now, Lord. Touch their bodies and their minds and emotional healing, Lord, that needs to be done. We pray that would happen. And God, we just pray that if deliverance needs to be done at the right time and the right way, that would occur. God, we just pray that if somebody here needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they would no longer wait and stay in the safety zone. We would move into the front lines where the battle is going and where it's exciting. And Lord, we pray if by chance there's somebody here that doesn't know You as Savior, that You would touch their hearts today and not let them leave this room until they've prayed with somebody to receive Christ as their Savior. And I thank You now, God, for what You've done. And I just pray that You would, Lord, for Your servants that are willing and want to, that You would use them and give them divine appointments where they can be Your vessels. And Lord, I just pray that they would not limit You by telling You, you know, what they're going to do, but they would just really just say, you know, let me know, Lord, and that's my prayer too. So I just pray in Jesus' name these things will be done and that Jesus will be glorified in all that we do. And I thank You, Holy Spirit, for being here today with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm back at my art studio now, and I wanted to give a follow-up or a postscript really on what's happened after that meeting. It's only been a couple of days since I gave this talk at Grace Bible Chapel in Kerrville. But after I gave the invitation, about 40 people came down for personal prayer, and Sherry and I prayed for each one that God would give them and release in their lives divine appointments. So we prayed individually for quite a few individuals and couples. One lady waited almost an hour to pray with us privately, and when we got to her, tears were running down her face, and she said that she wanted to be used more, and I asked her if she had prayed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the release of the supernatural gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and she said she'd prayed for that many times. And so the next question I had was, have any of those supernatural gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, had they manifested before in her life? And she said no. And I really sensed that she'd already received the baptism, but I clarified it by asking her if, in fact, she had yielded her will to God 100%, and had asked for those gifts, those supernatural gifts, to be manifested in her life. And she said that she had several times, but still no supernatural gifts had manifested. So Sherry and I started praying with her, and our pastor, Dr. Robbie Carpenter, joined us, and we just prayed, really. And I just told her I wanted to pray like Paul did for Timothy when he told Timothy that the gifts needed to be stirred up, and that those gifts that Timothy had received when Paul laid hands on him, we just did what Paul did. We just prayed that God would stir up those gifts. So we prayed that, and then after we got finished, I told her that there was one gift that could manifest right now if it would be God's will, and that would be her prayer language, or the tongues. And so I just explained that we could pray that that would happen right that minute, and she wanted to do that. So we just prayed that God would give her prayer language. And so we started praying, and I explained to her that the Holy Spirit is very gentle, and He wouldn't force, and He wouldn't manipulate, that she would, in her free will, have to give God her voice and some sound. He would not force that out of her. If she chose to give Him the sound and her voice and obedience, He would then give her the language. So we began to pray silently, and she began to give God just some sound. And I think it was like an ah sound or whatever, but really focusing on Jesus and asking for the language to manifest, but just giving some sound softly right there as we prayed. In a few moments, the first word appeared in her mind, and she said it. And it was a strange-sounding syllable, kind of a word that was foreign to her. But we all heard it, and then a second word, and then a third, and a fourth. And then she put the four words together. Pretty soon, a whole sentence in this new language that God had given her had manifested. And we all heard it, and we were all pleased, as she was, that gift had manifested. And then we began to pray in our own prayer languages with her softly there, and prayed for a few minutes until her full language manifested. She began to be a little bit comfortable with it, even though I guess at first you're not very comfortable with the new prayer language that God gives you. Something that I might point out here, normally when I pray for somebody for the baptism and then ask that their prayer language manifest, I don't pray in my prayer language first, because I don't want them to think that they've been coached or that they're just copying or mimicking me. So I, as normal practice, will not pray out loud in tongues when I'm with somebody unless I know they already have that language first. In this way, she knows now that the words that were given to her were not from me or somebody standing there, but were actually from the Holy Spirit. And we were asking for the language, and it came. And so now she's entered into a new realm. As is common, the prayer language or the tongues is really the threshold gift. And normally the other gifts of the Holy Spirit follow after that first one. And so we rejoiced at God bringing another one of His kids into the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Other fruit from my talk manifested the next day, Monday, after the Sunday service, and one of the 40 people that had come down for prayer spotted me and after work, and he pulled his car over and jumped out and said, "I've got to tell you, Max, about some of the fruit that's already resulted from your talk." The young man was David McCauley, and he came down with his wife Jody Sunday and asked, you know, God to give him divine appointments. Well, on Monday morning, they both got up, and they both, husband and wife, prayed together, and they just said, "God, would you please use us if you can, and would you please give us a divine appointment today?" Well, they both prayed, and then David went off to work early that morning, and when he got there, a man on his crew started opening up to him, and apparently he had all kind of problems in his life, and an alcoholic, and just been in jail for 16 months, and started pouring out some real personal details to David. And David recognized that that was a divine appointment that God set up, and so he just listened for few minutes apparently, and then said, well, only way that I've been able to get through the problems in my life are through my relationship with Jesus Christ. And this caught the guy's attention, and apparently David was able to explain his relationship with Jesus and some of his own testimony. Apparently, the questions came all day long from this man, and even at the end of the day, the man would come back and ask David about this relationship, and so they even prayed together, I think, at least one time. And so David was very excited that God was working with this man, and he told me that on Tuesday he was going to be bringing his Bible to the job, and that he just was thrilled that God had answered his prayer for a divine appointment, and how he had become a vessel of the Lord to share about the truth of the Lord. And we expect to hear other stories of divine appointments from other people that were in the church service that day, and possibly will be the topic of future testimonies. During my talk, I related to a San Marcos physician named Ed Serday. His salvation and baptism is really a story of a whole series of divine appointments which God had set up to bring him into the kingdom, and I'd like to share a little bit about him, because it's a rather interesting example about how God can put somebody in the right place at just the right time, and bring the right people into their lives to share little bits of truth about Jesus and the kingdom of God. But I believe it was in 1989 we first met at an art show, and he was attracted to my work because of a big elk bronze sculpture that I had in my booth, and he was a bow hunter and hunted elk, and so we got really started a casual friendship. I think he had read some of the articles in some of the national sporting magazines on some of our bow hunting exploits, but we began a casual friendship with Ed and his wife Susan. And at the time, Ed wasn't saved, but his wife Susan was, and they read our literature, and in our art literature we've always witnessed to the reality of Jesus Christ and told some of the testimonies and stories of how he's moved in our life. And so all the time Susan was praying for Ed's salvation, and she had her lady friends at the Christian Women's Club there in San Marcos that were praying, and so she literally just covered her husband with prayer. Probably a lot of times he did not know that, but she was praying for his salvation. Well, then, and I believe it was 1990, I was driving down the road, and I happened to pass a car, and we were going at a slow enough speed that I recognized them, and they recognized me, and I pulled over, and it was one of those so-called chance meetings, which is really a divine appointment. But Ed jumps out of the car and asks how we're doing. I don't even remember what it was, but God had just worked some real incredible miracle in our life just a few days before that. And so when he asked me how I was doing, well, I said, well, God just worked a great miracle in my life. That's about the most exciting thing going right now. And so right there on the side of the road, I witnessed this miracle. And probably I think it had to do with divine healing, which, of course, would attract the attention of a medical physician. So I shared that story, and nothing real heavy, and we shook hands and left, and I could see as I left that he was real confused, and yet I could see a big smile on Susan's face. And then I guess probably the next time I remember seeing or having another divine appointment with that family was I believe it was in 1991, and Sherry and our daughter Shay and I were driving from Kerrville to Dallas, and we were going up for some purpose. Oh, about halfway through the trip there, as we were going through the outskirts of Austin, our daughter Shay, who I think was 6 at the time, said she had to go to the restroom. So we started looking for a restroom, and we spotted a shopping center mall and a penny store, I believe it was, and so we decided to pull over there. And so we parked, and Sherry stayed in the car, and I jumped out of the car with Shay and went into the restroom to wait for Shay. So I'm standing outside the restroom of the store there just waiting for Shay. And up walks Susan, and I spot her, and she spots me, and she said, that she was excited or glad to see me, and that she really appreciated the things about God that I'd shared casually with Ed, and that he still wasn't saved, but that at the moment they were going through some pretty tough trials, I believe, some financial things I think were happening. And so she just asked if we could pray again for his salvation and for those needs in their family to be met. So we just bowed our heads and started praying outside the restroom. Well, about that time, Shay comes out of the bathroom, and she sees me praying with this stranger. And she waits a while, and, you know, she's kind of used to this, but finally she gives up and she goes back to the car. As the conversation was explained to me by Sherry, the conversation between Sherry and Shay went something like this. Sherry said, "Where's Daddy?" And Shay said, "He's praying outside the restroom with some strange lady." And Sherry goes, "Well, that's impossible. We don't even know anybody in this town." So, you know, that's how it goes. And we prayed for Ed and at that moment in time, and God had set that little divine appointment up right there in a strange city. And I'm not sure why she was in Austin, and I'm not, you know, we both weren't in our home cities, and yet God brought us together in that moment to pray for Ed's salvation and their needs. And then I believe it was shortly after that, I guess in the fall of 91, Susan asked me to be the guest speaker at their San Marcos Christian Women's Club's annual banquet that would be in February on the 13th of 1992. And this was the one annual affair when the women all bring their husbands and they try to get somebody to share a testimony that the husbands can relate to that might bring some of the ones that are lost into the kingdom. And so I was the guest speaker on that night, and I shared really my full story, and it really involved a lot of the things men can relate to in the outdoors and the bow hunting adventures and the way God had met us out doing while we were doing what we were doing. I gave an invitation at the end of this talk for salvation, but Ed still didn't receive and wouldn't come up, even though he came up later and thanked me for him, you know, sharing with everybody. And I think we might have prayed then that God just bless him. I don't actually remember, but it was after that, I believe, the next time we saw the Surdays in person was then in February of 94, and that was when Ed showed up there at my booth with Dr. Dean Jasper. And, you know, as he approached my booth at that Game Coin show, I just saw the radiance or the glow of the Holy Spirit all over him. And I knew before he spoke his first word that he had finally met God. And if I remember right, the first words out of his mouth were something like this: "Max, I'm saved. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior." And I could just tell, you know, from his excitement that he had had a real meeting with the God of the universe. And as I shared in the tape, Ed went on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit there in the booth and asked that God's supernatural gifts would be manifested in his life and that he would be used as one of God's vessels. You know, in conclusion, let me just say that, you know, Ed is kind of a great example of how God uses divine appointments and lots of different vessels and people and lots of prayers from lots of people over a lot of years. And really, it took years for Ed to come into the kingdom of God after he started hearing about Jesus. But his wife never quit praying, and she never quit asking people to pray for Ed. And today, you know, as a result now, Ed is a man of God and is being used powerfully now to share the truth of God wherever he goes. And we just thank God for bringing another person into the kingdom. Since I'm on the topic of divine appointments, I'd like to share one of the first divine appointments that I had shortly after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1989 in July. I was driving to my foundry where my bronzes are cast in Austin, Texas, and I was driving from Kerrville, and again, this was just shortly after we'd entered into this new realm and new experience of the second blessing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I was still quite confused and new in all this. But as I was driving down the highway, I felt God speak into my mind and say in a thought that I recognized was from him. He said, "Tell the Cassins about this baptism of the Holy Spirit you've received." And I remember responding back, and I believe it was out loud, I said, "But God, they're Catholics." And then it came back real strong again, and it said, "Tell the Cassins about this stuff." I remember saying again out loud, "But Lord, don't they have to talk to six other people first before they can talk to you?" And it came back strong, "Tell the Cassins." And so I finally said, "Okay, Lord, you set it up. And if you set it up, I will witness about what's happened to Sherry and I in this baptism of the Holy Spirit." So I arrive at the foundry at 5:30, and I'm running late, and the work that I had to do was taking longer than we expected. And John said, "Well, why don't you just plan on coming over to the house for dinner tonight and maybe spend the night and work on it in the morning?" And I hadn't planned to do that, but since I needed this particular artwork done, I agreed to. And in all the years I'd worked with John, I'd never been over at his house to have dinner, and I never spent the night over there. And I haven't since then, as a matter of fact. But on that one night, God had me go over to the house with them. And so we arrive, and I meet Kay, his wife, and she says that dinner won't be ready for 30 minutes. And so they bring me into the living room, and they were in a new house out in the country, a big old house. They didn't have very much furniture yet, and so there was, if I remember right, there was just one big chair in the living room, and they set me in that big chair. And then the family surrounded me in a semicircle, staring up at me silently, and they were all sitting there on the floor, and I think it was the mom and dad and the three kids. And then everybody got silent and just stared at me. And then I remember saying to the Lord silently, I said, "This is it, isn't it, God?" And he spoke back in my mind and said, "Yes, this is it." And so I just said to the Cassins, I asked him, "You know, can I share something that's happened happened to Sherry and I here recently? Can I share that with you?" And they smiled and said, "Why, sure." And so I told them about how Sherry and I had prayed to receive this second experience, which is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which, of course, Southern Baptists don't believe exists, as do a lot of Christians, but how we had received it a few weeks earlier in Atlanta. And I told them the whole story, and as I was finishing the story, I noticed they all had big grins on their faces, which really confused me, because I thought this testimony would have just blown them all away, since I weren't sure that, you know, I guess that they were even saved. But in fact, Kay spoke first, and she smiled, and I said, and when I saw these grins on their faces, I said, "Y'all think I'm crazy, don't you?" But Kay spoke first. She said that, "No, we don't think you're crazy," that 12 years before she had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues, and then later a supernatural healing, instant healing of a genetic condition she had, and an injury from a previous car wreck, and that their entire family was well acquainted with this second experience or second blessing, which most people call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I told Kay, I said, "Well, you guys never told me about this stuff." And Kay said, "You weren't ready." And again, they only knew me as a dogmatic, opinionated, fire-breathing Southern Baptist that pretty well thought he had all of God figured out. Apparently, now I was ready, and so they then revealed their testimony, and Kay told me how she had gone into a meeting with a Christian Bible study for women, and how she'd asked them after the meeting to pray that she might find a source of built-up shoes, attractive shoes, because she had a short leg which she was born with and had to wear these built-up shoes, and she wanted something that was attractive. Well, one of the ladies said, "Well, instead of praying for a supplier for shoes, why don't we just ask God, grow out your leg?" And that was kind of new to Kay, but the ladies came around, and they laid hands on her, and they prayed in Jesus Christ's name, and her shorter leg grew out right in front of everybody's eyes. And at the same time, God also took away all the pain from the spine injury. And as Kay told me that day, she has been healed ever since then. And at the time, Kay and John were part of the Catholic Renewal, and they went on to tell me how Kay received the baptism in her youth when she was having real serious insomnia problems, couldn't sleep at night, and apparently was very desperate one night and just laid there in bed and cried out to Jesus Christ and asked for him to heal her of this and allow her to sleep, or to, I think might have even told him to take her on to heaven. She was so desperate, but when she cried out to the Lord, she said she just felt his spirit cover her with peace and with joy, and then suddenly the strange language manifested. She began praying and speaking to God in this unknown tongue, and again, being a Catholic, she had never even heard of tongues and had not heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at that time, but at that moment in time, she was baptized in God's Holy Spirit, and all the fear left, and she entered into the realm of the spirit-filled life of a believer. Today, the whole family is spirit-filled and is ministering in Jesus' name, and they have experienced many miracles of all kinds, and healing miracles, and miracles with a fire at the foundry, financial things, and so they have an incredible testimony now that they share with others as God finds someone whose heart is ready. If God has touched your heart with the testimony that I've shared, if you're willing and open, I'd like to pray with you, and if you agree, pray along with me that God would give you more divine appointments and use you as his vessel to minister the love of Jesus to other people. And if you're really not serious with God, don't pray this prayer. And what I mean by that is if you pray this prayer, God will bring opportunities and divine appointments to you, and you will have the choice to obey his voice and to minister and pray and speak in his name, or to disobey and not take advantage of the opportunities he gives you. If you choose to obey, he will give you more and more opportunities, and if you don't limit him, he will use you in a variety of ways of sharing salvation with people and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, pouring out physical healing or emotional healing, you know, helping pray for all kinds of problems. There's just no telling what gifts he may manifest through you. So the good news is everything God does will be good, and it will bless you, and it will bless other people, even though he may use you in some unusual ways that may get you out of your comfort zone. But if you really want to serve God with all your heart, and you want to be his vessel to share the love of Christ with other people, then I suggest you just pray this prayer with me, and we'll just give it to God. But Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity again to witness your reality and the truth of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray now, Lord, that whoever is listening to this tape at this moment, that your Holy Spirit would come on them, and Father, that they would receive whatever divine appointments that you would send their direction, and I would pray that their spirit would be open to be your vessel, and that they would minister in your name, and that they would wait for the leading of your Holy Spirit to do this. And I just pray that you'll bring people to them, and that they will sense your hand in the situation, and that they would step out in faith and speak the words that you give them, and dare to come out of their comfort zone, and dare to share what you might give them, Lord, to help somebody else. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, if the person that's listening to this message has not prayed to receive your empowerment, your second blessing, your second touch, your infilling, your baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, whatever name you use. If they haven't, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that for all those whose hearts are open and won't limit you and want everything you have, that you would, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus, that you would just baptize them with your Holy Spirit, with fire and with power, and that even at this moment your Spirit would come over them in a mighty way. And Lord God, that you would release in them every gift that you have for them, every supernatural gift that you provide and that is listed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, gifts that you use to work your will in this world, Lord. And I just pray that those gifts would manifest at the right time and the right way and to your glory. And I just pray that in Jesus' name they would know that it's you and that it's real. And Father, I just would pray that you would confirm the truth of this by the testimony of other believers and also by the written testimony in your word, and that they would seek out this and confirm it as true, and that it would be a confirmation by the written word but also by your Holy Spirit. And I just, God, thank you in advance now. And I just pray, Lord, that all the people that hear this tape that have prayed this prayer with sincerity, I just pray now God's power on each of you, and that you be blessed by him and be a blessing to others and be used as his vessels from now on wherever you go for the rest of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer with me, you may have felt something, or you may not have. Don't trust your emotions. Just trust the Word of God and the Bible and the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, don't be afraid of any emotions or manifestations, because as I said in my earlier talk, you can't have love without having some emotion. And often, coming close to God is a very emotional experience, and you may have experienced any number of kind of manifestations of God's power on you when you prayed, and just know that he's confirming the truth of the word. If the baptism of the Holy Spirit experience is new to you, you might pray that God send people into your life that you can share with and that can share with you about this experience. I'd also refer you to the book of Acts, and that you might read that whole book over again, and you'll see fresh truths and insights in it now, having prayed this prayer for the empowerment that God gives. I'd also suggest that you might, if this is new to you, get a Bible, one of the modern translations, and one that explains about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what has come to be known as the charismatic experience. There's a Bible out by Zondervan called the Full Life Study Bible, which is very good, and also the Spirit-Filled Study Bible by Thomas Nelson. And I'd suggest you read both of those and start and just go through the New Testament. And that's a good place to begin and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and explain what all that means. Also, I wouldn't be too worried about being called a charismatic or entering into the charismatic experience, because if you'll go back and read that book, John and Peter and Paul and even Jesus were charismatic. And charismatic just means that the Spirit of God flows through you. My Baptist pastor, Dr. Bill Blackburn, explained to me that's really what it meant, and that it's the Spirit of God is supposed to flow through all believers. So I just know that you've entered into a new and exciting realm, and I just would say watch where you're going and watch what God's doing and try to be a part of what he's doing. And you just watch for those signs, and he will give you those divine appointments, and you will be entering into the most exciting part of your life if you will boldly go where the Holy Spirit leads you. You will get to see with your own eyes incredible miracles, some big, some small, but all from the same God. And we just encourage you to keep going, and don't worry about ridicule and criticism that may come from Christians as you try to share about what's happened to you. Because again, remember that the disciples were criticized by the religious people of their day when miracles started happening around them and they tried to witness it. So you're in good company, and don't lash back. Just try to share the truth in love, and don't try to force your testimony on anyone. If they're ready. God will have prepared their heart, and he may want you to share a little bit, or he may want you to share a lot, but you really have to just let the Holy Spirit lead you moment by moment and share as much as you can. And when you can tell, the Spirit tells you to stop, then stop. But if he tells you to keep going, then keep going. Just let God be your guide, his Holy Spirit. That's what he's sending to earth for, and that's what he does.